Hello everyone, welcome to our study on Yahweh's prophetic timetable, part two. Okay, for the last few weeks we've been talking about the calendar, and now we're talking about its reference to a timetable revealed for Yahweh's people. Yahweh's always trying to let his people know what's going on, despite others trying to deceive us. But Yahweh is good. He tries to help us understand what is the real deal. Okay. The fullness of time. Wow. That's what should be the title. I'll change it. Yahweh's prophetic timetable. The fullness of time. That's what we're talking about today. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your mercy and grace. Help us to understand the times that we live in. Help us understand your will and your way. Prepare us for the times that we live in, the time of the end. Help us to understand from examples of the past when the time was fulfilled, so that we might be able to understand the fullness of time. Thank you, and Yahweh bless you. Amen. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, have the words that I speak not be my words, but your words. Have the people hear not my words, but your words. Speak through me, let them hear from heaven. Amen. Okay, we've been studying the fullness of time. We started off with our scriptures of Galatians 4:4. When the fullness of time was come, Elohim sent forth his son. Okay, why did he send forth his son? When the time was right. You know, like we have a clock, you know, you have an appointed time when you're supposed to meet at a certain place or have a meeting, or when we're studying. So the same thing here. Yahweh has a timetable that he is working from. The question is, do we know what the timetable is? Has he revealed this timetable to us? Is it a prophetic timetable as it relates to what? Prophecy. Yahweh's prophetic timetable. Okay. So here, what we have, we read also in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, the time is fulfilled. What? At the fullness of time. That's what we read earlier, right? We're reading about time now. When the fullness of time was come. And we're also reading, the time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of Elohim is at hand. Repent, ye, and believe the gospel. Okay, what are we talking about here? When we talk about this, well, let's think about it. The time is fulfilled. That's Luke chapter 1, verse 15. And who do we have speaking here? This is John the Baptist. Then after John, this is Yeshua. Now, after that John was in prison, Yeshua came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of Elohim. Verse 15, Mark 1. And saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of Elohim is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. Now, what are we talking about? He comes on the stage of action, telling people, hey, he's here. Now, prior to that, at the baptism at verse 9, Mark chapter 1. And it came to pass in those days that Yeshua came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. It didn't say the Spirit was a dove and it appeared unto him. That's what man would say. Because if you see a dove or if you see a bird, then you can say, okay, that's Yahweh. That's no, no. It didn't say that. It says, and the Spirit like a dove. So that he saw the actual Spirit. Now, most people today don't see spirits, don't see different things. There are people who do see spirits. But most of us do not see spirits. But we see here that, and the Spirit like a dove descended upon him. And there came a voice from heaven. Okay? Not many of us have ever heard a voice from heaven. I haven't. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now, we have already read in Luke chapter 1, and we already read about the temptations in Luke chapter 4. I believe it's Luke chapter 4 we read about the temptations. And we talked about each one of the temptations and how they affect us. And this is interesting that it says that Yahweh does not seek for offering lambs and goats, but he seeks a body. And that's what he wants. He wants to dwell in us. He wants a physical being that he might be able to dwell in, so that he might be able to reveal himself to the world. Okay, now notice after the temptations, we have what happening here? John coming on the stage, John being thrown in prison, and then we're seeing Yeshua coming on the stage saying the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of Elohim is at hand. Now, it is not the kingdom of Elohim is in the future. The kingdom of heaven when you go 1,000 years and all of this other stuff. No, the kingdom of heaven is now. Believe the gospel. Repent. Okay? So, what do we see next here? We talked about that the Messiah had been announced at least 7 different ways. And they missed it. And we missed it at that time. And are we going to miss his second coming? Because we missed his first coming. We really just blew that. So are we going to miss his second coming? The first announcements we talked about was found in Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25. And we read about Zacharias, okay, and Elizabeth bringing forth John the Baptist, this blameless couple. Then we found out about announcement number 2, the same angel Gabriel appearing unto Mary, that she was going to have Yeshua. Then we found out about announcement number 3, at John the Baptist naming someone and circumcision. They occurred around the same time. Now, let me ask you a question. Do we have in our culture, anything about a naming ceremony and circumcision? No. But if we go to Africa traditions, we have naming ceremonies. Wow. That's biblical. If you go back and look at African culture, you will find a lot of the items and the things that were mentioned in the Old Testament, because they were his people. So, of course, those things will be there. So, one of my goals would be to go to Africa and actually go through different tribes and so forth, and nations and tongues and people, and be able to put together how what they practice through tradition, that has been passed on to them from the beginning of time, of how all of it is nothing of the Bible and all that it teaches, including the statutes, the judgments, the testimonies, everything. So, okay, so we wanted to let you know that is true. Okay, then after the third announcement of at the Nerevim ceremony, that he annoys abroad to all in Judah and to Judea, after his mouth was opened and he was no longer dumb, everybody knew that there was something strange going on, and that the Messiah was coming. The one great and wonderful one before the Messiah was here. So this was startling. So it's not that nobody knew, okay? The common people knew, the people in Judah and all Jerusalem and in Judea and in the countries and in the city, they all knew, okay? So when we get to the fourth announcement, we have these shepherds, okay, that are out in the field. And we found out already that the shepherds were out in the field, not in the winter. And so it couldn't have been December 25th, Christmas, and that whole holiday season that Yeshua was born. He had to be born sometime during the summer, spring, or something like that, when you can be outside, you know, enjoying nature. So, let's move on. Then we found out that he was just a baby when the angels saw him. Okay, and then we found out about the fifth announcement, which we found in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. Okay, the wise men from the east asking, where is the Messiah? And Herod not knowing, and he calling the wise men, the priests, and the priests tell him what that he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Now, I mentioned to you that how did the wise men know? Where did they read about this? What did they know? Now, they were reading scriptures. They were reading all of the books, even the hidden books that has been banned by the Europeans for us to read. But anyway, we're reading out of this book where I told you last week that we would help you see it. It's called The Testaments of the 12 Patriarchs. This is under Levi, chapter 18. Okay, when vengeance will have come upon them from Yahweh, the priesthood will lapse. That means the priesthood will come to an end because of its wickedness. So at the time of Yeshua, if it was wicked, and it's wicked at this time, are we probably following him? You judge. And then Yahweh will rise up a new priest, to whom all the world, the words of Yahweh will be revealed. He shall effect the judgment of truth over the earth for many days. And his star, there we go, his star, shall arise in heaven like a king, kindling the light of knowledge, as day is illuminated by the sun. Now, this is what I believe the wise men were reading, and that's how they knew to follow the star, Yahweh. And he saw, and he shall be exalted, so the whole, by the whole inhabited world. This one will shine forth like the sun in the earth. He shall take away all darkness from under heaven, and there shall be peace in all the earth. The heavens shall greatly rejoice in his days, and the earth shall be glad. the clouds will be filled with joy, and the knowledge of Yahweh will be poured out on the earth like the waters of the seas. And the angel of Yahweh and the angel of glory of Yahweh's presence will be made glad by him. The heavens will be opened, and from the temple, its glory, sanctification will come upon him. With a fatherly voice, as from Abraham to Isaac, and the glory of the Most High shall burst forth upon him, and the spirit of understanding and sanctification shall rest upon him in the world. And he shall give the majesty of Yahweh to those who are his sons in truth forever. So he will give us his majesty, he will give us his spirit, give us sanctification, will give us the spirit of understanding, only those who are truly the sons. So if you are truly not a son, not just a churchgoer, not just in the books, that doesn't count. You have to be truly a son of Elohim. And there shall be no successor for him from generation to generation forever. And in his priesthood, the nations shall be multiplied in knowledge on the earth. And they shall be illuminated by the grace of Yahweh. But Israel shall be diminished by the ignorance and darkness by her youth. In her priesthood, sin shall cease, and lawless men shall rest from their evil deeds, and righteous men shall find rest in him. And he shall open the gates of paradise. He shall remove the sword, and that the sword that has threatened since Adam, and we will grant to the saints, and he will grant to the saints to eat of the tree of life. The spirit of holiness shall be upon them, and Belial shall be bound by him, and he shall grant to his children the authority to trample on wicked spirits, and Yahweh will rejoice in his children. He will be pleased by his beloved ones forever. And Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob shall rejoice, and I shall be glad, and all the saints shall be clothed in righteousness. Okay, so I wanted to read that to you. But at this time, we need to take a break to hear from our sponsors.
Did you know that the supernatural is real? Yep, that's exactly what Jesus taught and operated in. Kingdom Principles for Kingdom Living. So to walk in your kingdom authority, enroll at Living Water Training Institute for the January 2015 session. Living Water Training Institute offers ministerial training for the kingdom, and you will learn what spiritual warfare is and how to navigate in the spirit realm legally and efficiently. And guess what? You do not have to be present to attend. So for more information, give us a call at area code 904-638-6906 or email us at livingwatertraining@gmail.com. Oh yeah, and check out the website at www.livingwaterhealingministries.org. So I challenge you to sharpen your arsenal and operate from your kingdom mantle.
One Day Denture Repair is a denture repair service that is centrally located in Jacksonville, Florida.
They repair your partial or denture while you wait. If you crack or break your denture, please call One Day Denture Repair at 904-210-6208 for an appointment.
Thank you for having me back. We're here to continue on where we were. Okay, so we talked about the five different announcements, and now we're on announcement number six. We're looking at Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 40. That's Luke chapter 2. Verses 21-40. And when the eighth day were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was Yeshua, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the laws of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to Yahweh, as it is written in the law of Yahweh, Notice, not the law of Moses, but in the law of who? Yahweh. Every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to Yahweh, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of Yahweh, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen Yahweh's Messiah. Now, so far, what we've been able to see is that there is a naming ceremony. Just like at the naming ceremony of John the Baptist, something miraculous happened. Zacharias' tongue was loose. Now, here at the naming ceremony of Yeshua, we see that there is this special person called Simeon, a just and a devout man, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And it says that the Holy Ghost came upon him. And the Holy Ghost revealed to him that, hey man, you're going to see the Messiah before you die. Now, this is very interesting. That are we devout people? I'm sure we are divided to denominations. Devoted to our church, devoted to our pastor, devoted to our children, and the children should be devoted to their parents, which is hardly ever happens, but that's what it should be. And so when we look at this here, Let's think about the stuff that we read in the Bible. Let's not just read it and just go over it. No, man, we should be seriously contemplating. These words are written for our admonition as examples unto the ends of the earth for us to learn and to understand. Now, is that our goal? Is that everyone's goal in church? To be a just and a devout man to Yahweh. Says that the Holy Spirit can reveal certain things unto you. It didn't say he revealed a lot of things to him. It just said he's going to reveal one thing to him, which is clear, that he will see the Messiah. Wow. Now, in that day and time, everybody was looking for the coming of the Messiah. That, if for you to live at that time, when that was going to happen, is like, you know, the number one joint. I mean, it was like perfect. This is what you wish for. If you were seriously following Yah, you know, if you ain't following Yahweh, it's just a, you know, preliminaries, more jokes. But if you were seriously following Yah, we already read that if you were seriously following him and you were blameless, that you wanted to have a son that Yahweh can use to the maximum as he used you. So Zacharias and Elizabeth got their blessing. A woman, she wants to be able to have the most righteous child, the best child, you know, the most wisest child, and those sought after, like Bathsheba, to have a son by Solomon, the wisest man on the earth. And we already saw that Mary is told by Gabriel to, you know, that she was going to have this. And that's a woman's, you know, greatest ever achievement that could ever be. So we see a husband-wife relationship of what it can be at its fullness. We see an individual version of what her existence could be to her fullness. And now we see another man. He's not married. Didn't say he's married. Okay, single, who is devoted to Yahweh, and he's getting what, you know, Yahweh said, hey, this is the best thing that could ever happen. I'm going to give you this gift that you're going to live at the time to see Messiah. Now, all of these wonderful people and all of these wonderful things, how many of them do you think, when they gave themselves to Yahweh, Yahweh would reveal all this to them? They had no clue, but they were dedicated to Yahweh. So it says, taste and see if Yahweh is good. And that's what we should be doing, tasting and seeing if Yahweh is good. Okay, we need to take another break. Let's take a break at this time.
That the supernatural is real? Yep, that's exactly what Jesus taught and operated in. Kingdom principles for kingdom living. So to walk in your kingdom authority, enroll at Living Water Training Institute for the January 2015 session. Living Water Training Institute offers ministerial training for the kingdom, and you will learn what spiritual warfare is and how to navigate in the spirit realm legally and efficiently. And guess what? You do not have to be present to attend. So for more information, give us a call at area code 904-638-6906 or email us at livingwatertraining@gmail.com. Oh yeah, and check out the website at www.livingwaterhealingministries.org. So I challenge you to sharpen your arsenal and operate from your kingdom mantle.
One Day Denture Repair is a denture repair service that is centrally located in Jacksonville, Florida. They repair your partial or denture while you wait. If you crack or break your denture, please call One Day Denture Repair at 904-210-6208 for an appointment.
Phenomenal.
thank you for coming back and being part of this study. As we have seen already about Simeon, let's move on and let's see about this devout and just man who Yah revealed to him that he shall not see death until he sees the Messiah. Verse 27 of Luke chapter 2. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. Okay, notice what it says. And when he came by the Spirit into the temple. You know, just imagine. Just think about it. If every place you walked and everywhere you did, everything you moved was by the Spirit. Such that wherever you went, it was like this guy. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Yeshua, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed Elohim and said, Yahweh, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of the people. Now just imagine this, you know, this guy called Simon walks into the temple at the naming ceremony, raises this child and says, Yahweh, this is the Messiah. Thank you for letting me see him. Now, he did more than just see him. He touched him. He raised him up as he was a helpless babe up to Yahweh to present him before Yah. Now, wow, this and he was moved in by the Spirit. It was only this certain length of time in all of these lives in Earth's history that he had to be there at the right time in the right location for this to happen. So that's why we're talking about Yahweh's prophetic timetable. It was already designed by the Lord of Yahweh to bring this child here at this particular time, and that's what this celebration was all about. So just imagine, have Yahweh spoke to you and told you that this is the end time, that you will be living, that you will die during the time of the end? Has Yahweh spoke to you that his second coming will be coming and you will see him? I mean, wow. The Spirit speaks, leads, directs, and guides. This is the experience we need to be having. Okay, verse 32. A light to lighten the Gentiles. Who's that? A light to lighten the Gentiles. Yeshua is going to lighten the what? The Europeans. That's the Gentiles. They don't have no monopoly on this gospel. It ain't even their gospel. It ain't even their stuff. But for some strange reason, we have to go through these denominations, these white denominations, these European denominations that have been set up to rule over thy people, which is a violation of the law of Yahweh. All right, go back and read it. I told you about that in Samuel. I told you, I've been one of my studies and I read it to you. So, deep. How deep are we in this? Okay. All right, let's get back to where we were reading here. All right, verse 32. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rise again of many in Israel. And for a sign which shall be spoken against. What is he talking about here? This shall be a child that is set for the fall and the rise again of men. The fall of Israel? If we're talking about the second coming, is the second coming the fall of Babylon? Is the fall of the churches? Is the fall of the denomination? Is the fall of the European rule? Yes. And then the rise again of many in Israel. So in the last days, he will reinstitute his people. That is where your 144 come from. They have nothing to do with the denominations. They have nothing to do with the Gentiles. It is his people that will give this last message. So if you don't know the ABCs of the Bible, Yahweh's prophetic timetable, you will be just caught up in believing in what they call it, the prosperity gospel. Interesting. Because that's all you're interested in. Okay, so we're trying to redirect our attention from money making and using Yahweh as a Santa Claus to give us what we want to Yahweh actually filling his people with his spirit such that we might be lights to the Gentile. Okay, the rise and fall of many, and a sign that shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. I'm reading about compassion and about mercy. All of these different traits that, you know, that we look at as women having and not too many men. And I was just looking at it of how the people's hearts feel compassionate for different people and so forth. And as it's reading here, it's really interesting that it is referring to some of this and that the people's hearts are pierced. And it talks about a soul, their soul shall be pierced. Yea, a sword shall pass through thine own heart also, that the thoughts of many shall be revealed. So I'm seeing compassion and mercy here. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phinehas, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. Wow. She was a widow, 84 is 4 times 20. That's 80. And for 84 years she was a widow. Wow. But it says she was a prophetess. So I guess she gave up, you know, being that and had a husband for 7 years. And then from then on, she lived the rest of her life without a husband. But she was a prophetess. So she was connected to Yahweh. So see, you don't need a human, depending on how deeply you're connected with Yahweh. It would be good, because Adam and Eve were both made. But as we see here, this prophetess, wow, had lived that long on her own. Okay, she was there 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served Yahweh with fasting and prayers day and night. So that's what she did. She did fasting and prayers. So we talk about a 21-day cleanse. He was doing cleanses 24/7, 7 days a week. It was like, wow. She was down. She was not gluttonous like us in America. The most gluttonous place on the planet. Have the obesity rate. And so we are falling like Rome. all the European powers, all the powers that be, European, African, doesn't matter, Arabic, all of them fall. And we are falling. Spiritually, mentally, and physically. We are a disgrace to the work. Verse 38. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto Yahweh and spake to him to all them that look for redemption in Jude. So now you got this prophetess prophesying that Yahweh was about to come and that he was here. And she gave everybody what? Anybody looking for redemption, she encouraged them to let them know he is here. And when they had performed all things according to the law of Yahweh, notice it's not the law of Moses, it's the law of Yahweh, they returned unto Galilee, to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. Amen. Now, filled with wisdom, and the glory of Elohim was upon him. Well, let's take our last break to hear from our sponsors.
That the supernatural is real? Yep, that's exactly what Jesus taught and operated in. Kingdom principles for kingdom living. So to walk in your kingdom authority, enroll at Living Water Training Institute for the January 2015 session. Living Water Training Institute offers ministerial training for the kingdom, and you will learn what spiritual warfare is and how to navigate in the spirit realm legally and efficiently. And guess what? You do not have to be present to attend. So for more information, give us a call at area code 904-638-6906 or email us at livingwatertraining@gmail.com. Oh yeah, and check out the website at www.livingwaterhealingministries.org. So I challenge you to sharpen your arsenal and operate from your kingdom mantle.
One Day Denture Repair is a denture repair service that is centrally located in Jacksonville, Florida. They repair your partial or denture while you wait. If you crack or break your denture, please call One Day Denture Repair at 904-210-6208 for appointment.
May not play like a maestro. Sing like a diva. Don't know the book like a scholar. Sometimes in my step there's a falter, but in my heart I am praying before His glory.
Oh,
we thank you all for coming back and being part of this study. Yeah, as we are talking about Yahweh's prophetic timetable, the fullness of time to be more exact. All right now. Okay, so we have been reading about announcement number 6 and 7, one by Simeon, then the other by who? Anna, the prophetess. One devout man and one a prophetess. Now, we don't hear a lot about a prophetess in the Bible, but there are quite a few. So women have been used by Yah just as greatly as men has. Okay? So there's a balance here where he's having, you know, his people. He wants to use us both to our maximum. Amen. And amen. And amen. Okay, so we see here that these time frames that Yahweh has in his book for the laws of Yahweh, such that they will come and dedicate naming service, all of these things he had for specific purposes and time, such that when his people gathered together, they would know when the Messiah would come. And so the Messiah has been broadcast by the priests by mistake, by Herod, by wiping off the children, by the shepherds, by the wise men who stirred up all of Israel, by the naming ceremony of John the Baptist, by Zacharias being dumb with the angel, by Mary. Oh, so many ways that they were told that this was his first coming. So many ways that we were being informed that, hey, yo, wake up. We have got to get real. We have got to get down to it. And the people were asleep. The wise and the foolish virgins. So now you might be saying, hey, wait, listen, man. Only the wise virgins made it through, and they did not go to sleep. Read Matthew 25 on your own. We went through all that already. Okay? Well, you go back and listen to our studies on that. But all 10 fell asleep. And so when we look at the time of Yeshua's first coming, we see that there were some people here and there that was denouncing all of these different things. But we see the priesthood and the leadership of the church and the people that you thought would come, all of the knowledge. And we are told today that respect our elders, respect our pastors, respect our... How are you going to respect those that are leading you astray? And so that's the way it was at their time, that these people were leading the people astray. And Yahweh was using individuals here and there to let the people know what's the deal. Now, you don't see him using nobody inside of the Pharisees and the Sadducees except maybe Nicodemus. And I think, what, Simeon, one of them that buried him. But that was it. So, let it be clear. Following leadership straight to hell, following them through propaganda, promise, following them because they say the Bible says so. Be not deceived. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Be for sure. Okay? So we see Yahweh using these individuals. Now it says here, oh my goodness, look at this beautiful text. It says in verse number 38, and she coming in that instant gave thanks. And so how could she walk in an instant when Simeon is lifting up the child and praising Yahweh and letting the world know that this is your child and thank you, you can let me pass on. Then she walks in immediately to follow up to say, hey, yes, this is a second. Amen. Then we're going to get a second here. A second and an amen. That yes, this is the child. Wow. The first was John the Baptist, and the second, Zacharias and his children. The second was Mary with her child. The first was the shepherds, and then the second was the foreigners, the wise men that came. So you see, Yahweh always has a first and a second, a testimony, just, you know, lining this stuff up. and amen. So he had Simeon, and then he had Anna, the prophet. Then it says, and the child grew. Now, many of us grow, but do we grow in spirit? It says, wax strong in spirit. Amen. So he was filled with the spirit, filled with wisdom. Yahweh is how much wisdom? Ask of Yahweh, and we shall receive wisdom from Yahweh, understanding. And we need to be filled with the Spirit. Not filled with the Spirit. People say, oh, I speak in tongues, so I'm filled with the Spirit. No, that's not what we're talking about. Anyway, on the day of Pentecost, they spoke in a language. They didn't speak in no unknown tongues. Okay? So, I mean, all of this funny stuff that be going on. And then it says, and it was filled with wisdom, and the grace of Elohim was upon him. Amen. So we saw here under the six announcements that Jesus' naming ceremony and at his circumcision. And we talked about Simeon, and we talked about the prophetess Anna. And then we see that he is waxing strong in spirit. The next announcement, you could call it 7 or 8, whichever one you want to call it. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Again, that's Matthew chapter 3. We're starting off at verse number 1 through 7. And it reads, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judah. Okay, there we go. So Judah already heard of this guy before when he was at his naming ceremony. And everybody's there waiting, you know. Hey. So what, 30 years go by? Yo, man, I thought they said that this was happening, okay? And saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, he didn't say the kingdom of heaven is, you know, when you get to heaven. He didn't say the kingdom of heaven is when, you know, when you're raptured out of here. He didn't say the kingdom of heaven is when you die. He didn't say any of that. He said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Amen. Now, the voice of what crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of Yahweh, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. So what do we see here? We see something spectacular, as they said in the song, phenomenal. That this brother was laid out for Yahweh. Now, did he have to have camel's hair, wool, leather girdle? No. He could have had his, you know, three-piece suit and all that rest of that stuff. That's not what he had. Now, he could have been eating the lasagnas, the pizza joint, the Italian foods, all of this stuff. He could be eating the white bread and, you know, the cakes and the pies and the McDonald's and, oh, man, all the poison there was. But he did not choose eat of any of this poison. So if you are, you know why you're obese. Even though you might be obese, you might be denying it and saying that, hey, I'm just overweight. I'm just a little over. No, you're obese and you're overweight. So he was a man that his first passions he brought under control. He did not live in a luxurious mansion. You know how y'all live in these 100, 200,000, 300,000, half a million, three-fourths of a million dollar cribs? Okay? Thinking that you need all of that. I don't need all that. And thinking that you were riding the best cars and you gotta have, I gotta have the best car and I gotta have, no, you don't need any of that neither. You need a ride to get around in, but you don't need the best one. You don't need the most expensive one. You don't need the one to get you in so much debt. Yeah, you need a crib that you can keep, you know, keep yourself. But you don't need one that's costing you so much debt that, you know, that you're just spending the rest of your life paying it off. I mean, it is rough. You hear me? It is rough. But let me tell you, that's not what John the Baptist was into. That is not what his father taught him. That is not what his mother taught him. That is not what the angels revealed to him. That is what the church probably was preaching. The prosperity gospel. And John shucked that off and threw that off the cliff. All right? But even though he had this girdle, even though he lived in the country, you ever heard of country living? That's what he was. He's in the country. Country living in the wilderness, in the bush. And all of Judah, you get that? All of Jerusalem, all of the surrounding regions came out to hear this brother. Now, the brother did not have a bullhorn. The brother did not have a mic. He did not have a big cathedral. The brother came and he just spoke, and the brothers and sisters and the young people just came flocking to him. Why? Because they have heard for the last 30 years that there is this man coming, and he is the child of this perfect, blameless couple, Zacharias and Elizabeth. And he is going to turn this world upside down. He's going to teach everything that we should know. He shall bring us to the light. So, you know, everybody came out to hear this brother. And he would come out every Sabbath. You hear that? Every seventh day Sabbath. Every Sabbath. They would come out. And they didn't have no potlucks trying to fill up your belly with potluck. No, they didn't have that. The brother ate locusts and wild honey. Now, we know what wild honey is. I use honey all the time, you know, instead of sugar. And then they had locusts. Now, locusts could be. Now, it could be. There's two types of locusts. One locust is the locust tree, where it has, you know, something that you would eat that would be similar to what we call chocolate or carob or something like that. So that's what I believe. That's what he ate and drank. Okay, so that's what I think he was referring to. But, hey, could have been the wild locust. I mean, hey, I'm not there to judge one way or another. Okay? Now, what was the brother teaching? What is the brother out here in the wilderness doing that he stirred up everybody? And I'm sure he attacked the prosperity gospel, all them Jews and all of those Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians, and all of them were dropping with their, you know, dress code. And he was saying, that don't mean a thing. All of you can call me father. You can enter the confession booth. That don't mean a thing. You call yourself a bishop. You call yourself a pope. You call yourself a pastor. You call yourself a reverend. People talk about, I'm reverend. Ain't nobody reverend. The reverend's no man. Ain't nobody no reverend. See, these people are high-minded. These people have got to the point that they exalt themselves as gods. And they are no god. You can be for sure of that. None whatsoever. But let's keep on reading now. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers. What did he call them? He called them a bunch of snakes. That's what the leadership is today. That's exactly what those denominations and all this stuff going on. And we call it the Christian, what? The Christian movement. where are we moving to? So anyway, old generation of vipers. He's not talking to the common people. He's talking to leadership. He's talking to people that's making merchandise of your souls. Oh, generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance. Wow. And think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham as our father. For I say unto you that Elohim is able of these stones, you hear me? Stones to rise up children unto Abraham. So the stones would be what? The Gentiles. The stones would be people that don't know the Lord, that don't know the word of Yeshua, don't know any of that. He says, from these stones I can raise them up. And he did. That's what he did. He raised up the Gentiles to eventually hear the gospel and so forth. He did. No question about it. That's exactly what the stones were. Stones still are. All right. And now also the axe is laid at the root of the tree. So he says, I'm cutting down this tree. This tree of religiosity, of dogma, of tradition, of all of those things. Brother said he's cutting it down. Every tree which bringeth forth not fruit, good fruit, is hewed down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoe I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Spirit, and with fire. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. They were baptized with fire, as it says. Not speaking in unknown tongues, speaking in known tongues. Such that everyone heard them speak in their own language. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge the floor. That's what he's going to do. He's going to purge them all out of here. And gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So you better look out. Which side do you want to be on? The side of Yah or the side of this world? You must decide, not I. You must decide. So we see that all came out to hear and from regions all about. The appointed time fully came. Notice what Acts. Okay, that's what we're talking about now. Acts chapter 2. Let's just see what he says. And we're going to start at verse number 1 here. Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Amen. Now. They were all with one accord in one place. Now, notice this. The Bible talks about, you know, he died at the Passover lamb on the Passover day. At the hour the Passover lamb was being offered, the graves were open. And when he rose, the graves, those, the first fruits rose with him. So all of these things were fulfilled in exact time and space. So when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that just any time on Pentecost is a special time of the day that they were all filled with his spirit. So it's letting us know that Yahweh has a prophetic timetable. He's revealing it to us. How do we know what is going on? It's in the signs of the times. It's all about us. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, check out the words, fully come, underline it, highlight it, whatever you want to do. They were all with one accord. They had to be on one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as the rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire. It didn't say real fire was over. It says cloven tongues, like unto fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's what he said would happen. He says that I baptize you with water, but he that's greater than me shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And this is it. This is what he did. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, then there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Excuse me. And it filled all the house, and there appeared unto them cloven tongue like fire, and it sat upon each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So you got all of them coming out to hear John the Baptist. Now you have all of the people coming out and hearing on the day of Pentecost. The use of seven through the Bible is represented everywhere. Yahweh uses seven, which represents perfection and completeness. Well, when we come back next week, we will discuss and we will look at the use of seven, its representation of perfection, of how it all works. But until then, may Yahweh bless you. May he keep you. May his wonderful grace pour upon you. May he give you peace. And may you visit our website, www.peopleofcolor1.com. That's www.peopleofcolor1.com. Till then, may Yahweh bless and keep you. May his wonderful grace pour upon you. May he give you peace. Yahweh, open up. We pray that you have opened up everyone's minds and soul, that they might hear and understand what you would have us to know. Thus saith Yahweh. We just ask that you might be able to reveal to us your prophetic timetable so that we might be able to understand it and live by it. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. As they say, amen, amen, and amen.